You guys, this is finally it.
It's the last considerate joy of 2023.
Oh.
Yeah, not ever.
Okay. Misunderstanding there on the memo. That's right. We are actually, this is the first year of the podcast, something we've wanted to do for so long. And to see that we're finally wrapping it up now for our first, not full year, but we've got a whole bunch of them under our belt, and seemed like the best way to wrap it up is to kind of just reflect on the last year, not just since we started the podcast, but looking back at 2023.
So we picked three things: movies, music, and moments of 2023.
This is the official 2023 Rewind.
Consider it pure joy.
Happy joy. See if it sparks joy in you.
Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is Consider It Joy. We are an official podcast of 88.3 Life FM. My name is Matt Pelishek.
My name is Aaron Perlman.
And actually, it's been a little while, I think, since we've done a podcast without a guest.
Yeah, but I think with the content that we have, you don't need a guest.
We don't need a guest. Just listen to how charismatic we are.
Well, you listen to us every weekday, by the way, anyways, on 883 Live FM. You can do 883livefm.com from 2 to 7 for the joyride.
That's right. This all originated out of a radio show. 2023 was the year we finally launched the podcast. And so let's just, before we even jump into any of that, thank you for those of you that have been listening since we started. And could we ask this, just a small favor right at the top? If you have been listening, would you be willing, especially if you listen like on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, those are the two biggest ways that people listen outside of the app. You can rate the podcast there. They both have like the 5-star systems. I think you can leave reviews only on Apple Podcasts, but when you do those things, that actually helps not just boost our ego, but it also helps. It actually helps get the word out on the podcast because it's all algorithm.
This is our best way to advertise. So hit the share button on that and put it on your favorite social media platform, whether it be Facebook, it's Instagram or X, whatever it is that you share things on. Let us do that. That way we can get out there into the stratosphere.
I love that you can share it on X. So 7 people will be able to catch it there also.
I'm just trying to think of the major ones.
We thought it would be fun just as, you know, we've covered a lot of stuff this year on the podcast itself, from theology to the tough parts of life to industry things, behind the scenes kind of stuff, to maybe just look back, widen the scope, though, a little bit. As Aaron mentioned early on, it's that we have three categories. And understand, I feel like, at least the way I treated this, Aaron, they're kind of loose categories. We're going music, movies, and moments.
And so if you don't know about us enough yet, which keep listening to all the other podcasts, but we like to talk about movies, TV shows.
Love them.
We talk about action figures. We talk about music all the time. Obviously, we're in radio for music. But we have big moments in our personal lives. And so these are kind of the things that we've gone through maybe together. And we're going to share with them. And what's fun about this is Matt and I, we've not shared with each other what our top favorites are.
Yeah.
They've been elusive to each other. So it'd be kind of fun to see where things land. But yeah.
So I think what we'll do is we'll go one category at a time, and then we'll just bounce back and forth. We each have three in each category. Some of mine, I've cheated a little bit on how I've bundled them, but it's our podcast, so
we can do
our rules, okay?
We can do what we want. Back
off, everybody. So it only makes sense, I think, that we're going to start off looking back at the year in music, 2023 music. And in this category, we've kind of kept it open to whether it's going to be concerts, albums, songs, or whatever. Do you want to kick this one off?
I will, and I'm going to say all of mine are albums.
Okay.
I because I'm the kind of guy who likes to listen all the way through an album. If I like the artist, and I feel like there's so, I can't just pick one song, so it's not fair.
That is tough.
It's not fair. So I do want to give us honorable mention. Can I give honorable mentions?
Sure, yeah, why not?
Normally I have only... My honorable mentions is so packed in this.
Wait,
I'm not gonna put them in order. This was so tight for me for music. My honorable mentions: Phil Wickham.
Okay.
His album, I Believe. Ben Fuller. It's called Ben Fuller. and it's more country style, and I'm not country. So this is like Phil Wickham's Worship. Ben Fuller is country. Lauren Daigle. Lauren mm-hmm. Daigle makes an honorable runner-up for me, and Cochran and Company.
Okay.
All those albums. But it's going to be interesting. So for Matt and I, we both run through this issue, is that if you're going to put an album out there, you've got to put at least more than 10 songs.
And over the course of even doing this podcast and doing the radio show, we've learned there are very practical reasons why they often don't do that anymore. And here's the thing. I don't care. I don't care about your practical reasons
yeah.
or the costs that come along with it. I feel it's still a fitting rule. You do an album, you got to have more than 10.
And that's the thing. You got to have more than 10. And that's why I start with, because we waited forever for you. But my the number three is an album with only 9 songs.
Okay. Okay. It's like breaking the rule right up front.
I broke the rule like right away, but I've been loving every song from it. Jervis Campbell is the artist, and its album is called Hopeful Hearts Club. Now, Jervis, he's an independent artist. He's got like this 90s, early 2000 collective soul meets just independent writer sound. I don't know if collective soul is the right answer to it, but it just like kind of on the vibe of that sound of Creed, Daughtry, but not as hard, laid back kind of personal songs.
Somewhere between a Creed and a John Mark McMillan, I feel like.
There you go. Yeah, Creed or Lifehouse.
Sure.
A little bit of that. Yeah. Creed, John Mark McMillan. I like that. It's a great example.
Aaron has talked about Jarvis for...
Jervis, yeah.
Jervis.
Yeah, it's okay.
Not Jarvis.
It's okay.
Not from Avengers. For, I don't know, the last couple of years or so, at least.
And this, every song on here just to me hits, and how he released it this year, I think that's what made it. He would release a song like once every month, and each one, I didn't know which was the main song. I think there's so many different ones I fell in love with, but he has a song called Hope, Higher Love, Hopeful, and People. All four of those are just excellent for me on that
okay.
album. That's number three.
Like thief in the night, we don't notice what's going inside. Just come on, don't waste your time. It's what they're saying, but the wells run dry. And I don't know why.
What's your number three?
Well, you know, I didn't rank them within each category.
Okay.
So I'm just going to kind of shoot from the hip on this one. I'm trying to decide, do I go for the one that I am anticipating we both have just to get it out of the way?
You could. I know.
Okay. Well, maybe we don't. Maybe I'll be surprised. Save it. Okay. Then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to mix it up, and instead of an album, I'm going to go concert experience.
Okay.
There was a concert I went to that really caught me off guard. I got to go see Lauren Daigle for her album release.
Oh.
And they did an album release show for the self-titled album, which if anybody follows Lauren Daigle, you know that throughout the year, she released the full album, but only like half at a time. So I think it was around springtime
mm-hmm.
when we got the first like 15 or something songs. And then another...
In November.
12 or so, yeah, in November. But I was there. It was the Novo Theater in L.A., and it was the experience. I mean, the music was fantastic, but it was such a unique... everything about it had Lauren's flair on it. If you've ever been to her show, she's very colorful. Like, she's all about all of the, like, bright and, like, cloth and all of these things. So I remember when I was walking up to the theater, and I'm looking in one of the doorways that heads in, and I'm thinking, oh, there must be some other convention also happening here, because there are people, I kid you not, on stilts wearing like butterfly costumes walking around. I'm like, that's odd. Well, maybe I'll have to see what that is later. No, that was it. That was the lobby for the Lauren Daigle concert. And it was just her, and it's the whole thing was like that. And it wasn't just the setting, though. I mean, the concert was phenomenal. Now, I've seen Lauren a couple other times in concert, and full disclosure, her voice is always amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Never held my attention that much. There were times in some of the other concerts I was like, she's good, but I'm whatever. I'm fine. I'm good now. But this concert, and maybe a combination of the writing and the style that she did.
Well, and the way that she brings in this classic horn section.
She does. And she's done that before.
Mm-hmm.
But I absolutely love the album. You mentioned it as an album. There was one moment that I love too. Trying to remember the name of the song. It was Valuable, which wasn't my favorite song, but there was a moment in the show as I'm in a balcony seat and I'm looking down and I see this row of like young women singing the Valuable song with her.
Hmm.
How they knew it on the album release party, I don't know, but the song all about like you are valuable, and it was something very moving about that.
I think, and that's that song that it's so true what Matt says in that, in those words, you realize just how valuable you are to God.
No.
If you feel like you don't feel like you are loved, I encourage you to listen to that song. Those words will hit.
And it's a slower song. It's not my style of song, but watching people sing along, especially because I have daughters that are teenagers. Mm-hmm. So watching that and watching them sing that back was very moving. But then also I love Kaleidoscope Jesus, Ego, These Are the Days, all fantastic. So that whole experience for the concert was one.
The reason why I had that heard in my honorable mention is it's so funny because we want song albums have more. I literally put Jervis Campbell. He had 9 songs and he's in my top 3, but it's because she put too many out. That's why I couldn't put her in there. Cause I just didn't get a chance to really enjoy. There's so much. And that's where I get to that's where I'm going to move to the next section here. Cause my number 2 favorite, album, I wanted it to be my number 1 so bad.
Okay.
But just like Lauren Daigle, she put 20, I'm going to make this clear, 23 songs. 23, even though it was like an hour and 17 minutes, which is not that bad.
I love that there's a window now. It's like, all right, listen, artists, you got to have at least 11 songs, but don't you dare have more than that.
I didn't think I'd ever be bored, but I haven't been able to completely, and this is why Brandon Lake, his new album, Coat of Many Colors, should be number 1 on my list, but I haven't been able to finish the whole album.
Okay.
It's 16 wow. songs, and I love so much about this album. I couldn't tell you enough. Like, the song Coat of Many Colors, I mean, it just, how there's words in that song that are written so, so well. In fact, I'm gonna read the words to you here.
Yeah.
It's so good. So, it's in the second verse, and he talks about sometimes your worst enemies turn out to be your brothers. I know you understand. That's it. That's all he says.
Mm-hmm.
And in that line, I'm like, wow, that's Jesus understanding that sometimes, yeah, like his disciples betrayed him, his disciple Judas, and he gets that being backstabbed by somebody that you thought you held close. I see that relating. But Count 'Em, that song just rocks.
So good.
I was not a fan of Praise You Anywhere. For some reason, it was my number 1 on Spotify. Why? I must have been because of worship stuff, but that's turned out to be a really fun song for worship. But I go down this list, like Tear Off the Roof, Miracle Child, Kids. I think the song on there, everybody should listen to the song Kids. It reminds me so much of what Jervis Campbell does too. So those two kind of connect with me very much. But it's a fun album. I just haven't been able to get to the back end of the album. I've been stuck after Kids, so I don't know what's next yet.
It's kind of funny as we go through these lists because I anticipate you're going to hear both when we finish the list, all Christian artists. And we actually didn't create any kind of rule when we agreed on this that we're like, let's only spotlight the Christian artists.
It's true.
But they're actually, I think this year in particular, especially with only picking 3, there were some that were so strong. And any artists that I listen to that are not in the Christian music world weren't really anything that came out recently. In fact, there's not much of, you know, current pop music that I enjoy.
Yeah.
So I'd have to go back to like 80s. Now, if it was Journey or something, great. But that didn't qualify for 2023. So, all right, I do have one that's an album. Well, two that are albums.
Okay.
And in my very first episode of Consider It Joy, I talked a lot about how much I listen to hip-hop. And so I had to give it to NF and the album Hope. And there's, if you followed NF just briefly, over the albums he's done, it's always been very kind of dark. And he also has, maybe like Jervis in a sense, there's a very singer-songwriter element about him. Very vulnerable, very wearing my heart on my sleeve kind of stuff. But obviously a very different format. So these other albums, you've heard a lot of kind of despair and a lot of anger. And this is the first time that consistently through the, well, the album itself, you know, it's called Hope. You've heard the change. So number one, that was fun as a big NF fan since the beginning to hear kind of that journey, you know, when you follow an artist that way. And to see.
And by the way, NF, I encourage everybody, watch one of his music videos.
Yeah.
So intelligent.
They're movies. They're kind of like sort of dark movies.
It's almost like angerful, but you can't take your eyes off of it because the words in it are just impactful.
Well, and some of the songs follow up on that, like the song Hope, is kind of this dynamic between angry Nate, that's NF's name is Nate, and more hopeful Nate. And there's even sort of a back and forth between them. In fact, I'll also read you some lyrics from the song Hope. What's my definition of success? Creating something no one else can. Being brave enough to dream big, grinding while you're told to quit, giving more than when you've got nothing left. It's a person that'll take a chance on something that they were told could never happen. It's a person that can see the bright side through the dark times when there ain't one. It's when someone who ain't never had nothing, it sounds weird to say it when I'm just saying it that way, ain't afraid to walk away from more profit because they'd rather do something that they really love than take the pay cut. And it goes on kind of on that lines, but all about redefining success as it's not about any of those things. It's about doing what you're passionate about and what you believe in. So that album, there's at least three songs I love, and they're the ones that are real big. Motto is another one. Happy is another one. But all the way across, a very thematically fantastic album.
And so
album.
Those of you like, maybe rap is not your thing, give NF a shot because Matt is a big hip-hop rap fan. He loves this stuff. And he knows what he's talking about. And NF is just, it's just a game changer when it comes to Christian rap.
It is. And stylistically, I mean, it may not be your thing. Sometimes people just, you know, that style you don't like. But if you are able to actually hear the words, the guy's a poet. It's awesome. See, if I didn't ever hit rock bottom, would I be the person that I am today? I don't believe so. I'm a prime example of what happens when you choose to not accept defeat and face your demons. Took me 30 years to realize that if you want to get the opportunity to be the greatest version of yourself, sometimes you gotta be someone you're not to hear the voice of reason. Having kids will make you really take a step back and look in the mirror. At least for me, that's what it did.
All right. So our number one, well, at least it's my number one, and Matt's on his top three for sure.
Yeah.
Is the one that you didn't say.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to say it at the same time. We have not seen each other's list. But for my number one, which is the one, and Matt's leaving off his top three, here it is. 3, 2, 1, Stephen Stanley.
Uh-huh.
Hands down. Yeah. The album's called Divided Frame of Mind. Now, I've been going off all the numbers on the how many songs are there.
Okay.
There's 14 tracks, but there's 13 songs. 13 songs.
Yeah.
And I'm just bummed at Divided Frame of Mind, which is what the album's called, that's not a real song. It's a line in the first song, The Edge.
Yeah.
But it was just a great title.
It's a cool title.
I wanted that to be a song. That's the only gripe I have from the album. That's it.
I feel like we both arrived on here for a couple of reasons. I mean, primarily because of who he is and what he does. You can listen to our past episodes talking about these, you know, the golden days of Christian music in the 90s. Well, Stephen Stanley is almost like a current representation of that. And especially we come from the radio world, right? Christian radio, where you have a lot of songs that are the contemporary sound. That's how it operates. Stephen is this kind of rock slash grunge rock, and he plays with some of those sounds. And so, in part, I think there's a familiarity that we love so much, but there's also just a freshness and a creativity throughout the whole thing.
It really is. I mean, you go from a song that we played on the radio, Rest in the Father, you think, okay, that's just sounds like a typical adult contemporary song with a little bit of edge. Listen to the rest of the album. Like the song, Whatever It Takes, just takes off. Like total rockin' song. I know what Matt's going to say here. It's going to be About to Rain and Taking It Back.
Yeah, Taking It Back in particular.
Yeah.
And in part, you know how sometimes a song will stick out just because it fits a moment? So shortly after the album came out, I was listening to it. And this, by the way, this album and the Lauren Daigle album are the only two in all of 2023 that I listened front to back more than once.
Wow.
They are the only ones I've done that with, in fact, multiple times. But as I'm listening to the new Stephen Stanley album, I'm going to one of my favorite places on earth, which is Santa Monica. I love going to Santa Monica Pier and the beach. And it just timed out right as I'm turning onto the highway that runs along the beach as you're pulling into the pier parking lot. Taking It Back is going. And it's got like this wild drum solo and it's just energized. And there's just something about the moment was right. Here's the ocean. There's Santa Monica. I've got it cranked up as I'm cruising down. You know, like it has stuck with me.
So it's like there's so many things in this album. I remember working out to the song, Whatever It Takes, the morning it came out. Online, and it was like 3 hours later I bumped into a radio event and I bumped into Stephen Stanley. Mm-hmm. It's like, I love this song. He's like, how have you heard it? And I'm like, because he didn't know it came out yet. I'm like, no, it came out today. I've been working out to it. But there's a song in there called Clean, and it's co-written by him and Bear Reinhart of Need to Breathe. And that's like, I didn't reference them, but I will a little bit later on. Need to Breathe. Just to hear, you can hear them writing that together. Mm-hmm. And it's a pulled back song. It's probably the most intimate of the whole album. And I think it's, I love it all the way through. It's so good.
Yeah.
Check out Stephen Stanley.
That is one. Yeah. You can go, like, you're not going to have any songs you need to skip on that album.
No.
Everything that I need.
Yeah, we're kind of in the same boat there on large part there for our music.
Yeah.
I wonder if that will change as we look at movies.
It may.
I've got a bit of a...
I feel pretty good. It will.
There's a couple here that I think are will be in a similar place. Then I got a way left field that I'm going to jump into.
I'm super left field, though.
Yeah? Are
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Well, all right, let me begin with my honorable mention. Are you? You go. You
well,
go.
I was just going to say, once again here, we're not necessarily saying these are the best movies of 2023.
No.
We're saying there are favorites, some of our favorites, whether it's because they were great or they had a memory or something associated to them that made them fun.
Yeah. Do you have any, you can throw out an honorable mention. Like, you wanted to put this on the list, but you're just like, I couldn't fit it on there.
Goodness. No, I didn't make one of those lists. Although, people are going to laugh at me. I'd maybe put Barbie as an honorable mention.
That's okay.
I laughed so hard many times throughout that film. I'm sure there would be a long list if I were to think through the honorable mentions.
It's funny if you think about it. There haven't been many comedies, like real comedies, in a while.
No.
And it's great. It's great. If you're going to laugh at a movie, all right.
Yeah.
Look, my honorable mention is more, it's complete flipped from that.
Okay.
Super serious. It just stuck with me. I just couldn't put it on the top three because it just stuck with me because I hadn't watched it. But a lot of you did. Sound of Freedom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So just... It made me look up the real story, and to find out how much of that was actually real was incredible, and to know that there's just kids out there being hurt, and so, it was acted really well. I think if there's anything about it, the little girl that acts in that movie, she deserves an Oscar by far. She's the best actress I've seen all year in anything I've watched. It was amazing.
Wow.
Really, really good.
Okay, so that's the honorable mention.
Honorable mention.
Okay.
All right, my bottom three.
Okay.
My third movie. It's a movie I watched in 2023, but did not come out in 2023. I'd never seen it before. I doubt Matt's seen it either. 1951.
Nope.
Okay, my brother, my twin brother, he texted me. This was like a couple weeks ago. He's like, he texted me in the middle of the night. You've got to watch this movie. I just watched it. I can't believe this hasn't been remade. It's amazing. James Stewart. It's called No Highway in the Sky. It stars Marlene Dietrich and Glynis Johns. Glynis Johns, she's the mom from Mary Poppins, the original Mary Poppins, okay?
Okay.
The British lady. And this is like one of her breakout roles. This is what gets her like further in her career is this movie. And the idea in this film is Jimmy Stewart's character is making airlines, like 747s. And he's been trying to, he's like this odd engineer, and he has this theory that he thinks planes, after so much time in the air, will fall apart and they'll collapse. And the movie goes on, it sets you up, and it's a suspense drama, because what happens is they put him on a plane to go tell somebody about it. And he's in the plane, he's learning about, he says hello to the pilot, and the pilot says, oh, yeah, yeah. He finds out the plane that he's worried about, they want to stop flying, is the one that he's on. And he's in the air, like literally at the moment that he believes in his calculations, it's going to crash. And it was a movie ahead of its time. The second you find that, oh my gosh, you're on the edge of your seat the whole time through. Great movie.
So I'm going to be honest. I sometimes forget, because I didn't really grow up around the classics. My parents didn't really watch much of that. My dad was a Hitchcock fan, but that was about it.
Yeah.
And I forget that even back then, they knew how to write things.
Yeah.
Like there's a part of my brain that says old timey movies. Like someone's tied up on the railroad tracks and someone's like, ah, ha, 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 and that's it, you know?
Yeah, no, this was not, this blew me away because the concept is something that you would see in a movie today.
Right.
And oh man, the second you see Jimmy Stewart's eyes, when he finds out where he is at that moment, I stood up and I didn't realize it, but my wife is like, you've been standing for 15 minutes. Sit down. So it's worth a watch. No Highway in the Sky. It ends mediocre to me, but I can't get it out of my mind. It's good.
I understand you're not very happy about something,
Captain. This airplane and everybody in it's in very serious danger, and you must turn back at once.
What sort of danger?
Captain, I've been working on a theory of nuclear fission. I used the tailplane of a reindeer as a basis. According to my calculations, it'll fail in 1,440 hours.
Now, this is a theory.
Now, I assure you, I've done a great deal of work on this, Captain.
Boy, I should have thought in those terms, because I stuck within the year.
Yeah.
Not 70 years ago or whatever.
I saw it, though, for the first time.
We told you we would be bending the rules a little bit. Well, okay, I'm not going to do these maybe in necessarily the order. There's just one I want to save because it's out there. I'm going to start with Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. Been a Turtles fan my whole life, and this is kind of a mix of things that made it great for me. One, the movie is just super, super fun. It's a new take on the Ninja Turtles. If you haven't seen it, they're younger than we've seen them before in the other cartoons and movies and things. And they actually had teenagers, like... Who would have thought? Actual teenagers being teenagers.
And voiced by teenagers.
Being their voices. Like, the actors are actually the right age for it. It is funny. I probably laughed more at Turtles than I did at Barbie. But I laughed a lot at both both of them. But also because I got to go to a couple of fun Turtles things this year. Number one is I went to Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con. And just as an aside... I've gone a whole bunch of times before, but the actor strike and everything was going on this year. Mm-hmm. And so there's a place in Comic-Con called Hall H. And for reference, it's where all the biggest things normally would be. So if Marvel's doing something huge or whatever is just absolutely top of the A-list, that's where it goes. And that's where they do, you know, like a preview and stuff.
Yeah.
And the cast will be there. I've never gone into Hall H because you have to camp out to get in. People literally, there's two lines. There's a hall to get into line H, and then there's another line where it's people sleeping to get in the line the next day.
But you were there when the actor strike and the writer strike was going on.
Right. And it was a little bit apocalyptic, I could walk right in.
Yeah.
Very weird if you know San Diego Comic-Con. That's bizarre. So anyways, I got to go in, and I got to be there for the panel for Mutant Mayhem. The actors weren't there, but got to see clips and stuff. So that was really fun. And then after that, we went to, once again, my favorite place, Santa Monica. I met my family there, and they had one of those pop-up promotional things mm-hmm. where you can walk through the Turtles' lair based on the new movie. So I had all that experience, and then the movie itself really delivered, which made it a big standout.
It is a fun movie.
Yeah.
It was really fun. It was close.
Yeah.
I was bouncing this thing around, and whether it'd be making it my list.
This is one, I will still buy physical media. Rarely, but I will. If it's like, no, I want to make sure I always have that on hand, and that's one of them.
That seems very dangerous.
You eat danger for breakfast.
Actually, I eat pizza with bits of waffles on it.
We're the only ones who can do this. We're brothers. We fight together. We're just getting started.
Yeah, she sounded like a leader.
I do? Oh, I do! Oh, I sound like such a leader!
And you ruined it.
One of mine I've gotten physical media for, but it's not this one. Number two for me, it's along those same lines of Mutant Mayhem.
Okay.
If I was a kid, I probably would have been there if I was 10 years old, 10 to 15, every weekend. I would have been at the movie theaters for this. Transformers Rise of the Beast.
Oh, okay.
I lost hope in Transformers movies.
Yeah.
So when I saw this movie, it was like the second or third weekend it had been out. And they're just always so long, and they get boring. And I couldn't even finish. The last one with Mark Wahlberg, I think it was like The Last Night is what it's called. Man, I'm just like, I was bored. And I like, how do you do this to a Transformers movie?
Yeah, they're giant robots. How do you make that boring?
And this was just quick, paced, fast, upbeat. I'm gonna throw out a spoiler, okay? A little bit on this thing.
All right, spoiler alert, everyone. Right,
here it is. So at the end of, there's two spoilers here. At the end, like, the hero that we're following, the human, they allow him to become a Transformer. In some form of aspect, without giving away how that works. At first, I thought that was kind of hokey, but as it plays out, I wanted to be him. It was like, I am loving this, and it was like the cartoon came to life, and of course, the very, very, very end, a lot of people walked out if you didn't see this, so this was in the news. They are going to try to, because of this movie, they're going to try to make this now connected to G.I. Joe, and... Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It just made me, I could not, driving home with my wife, all I could talk about, like, what if they did this? What if they did this? Did you see who they had? I was so happy. So it's probably not in anybody's top 10 list at all, but it is a mine.
Yeah.
Transformers Rise of the Beast.
I think any movie that can do that, like where maybe critics don't like it or other people are laughing at it or whatever, but if you... have one of those moments mm-hmm. that, like, you can't stop talking and thinking about it. That's all that matters.
For centuries, our kind has stayed hidden on Earth. But darkness has found us again. Prime. This is about the fate of all living things. Unicron is coming.
So this one is another one. The second one I'll talk about is maybe a bit on the nose for anyone who really knows me, but man, I love some John Wick.
Oh, yeah.
John Wick 4 came out, and this one, for me, another reason it stood out is because there are two, I love martial arts movies, so there are two big martial arts actors that I adore.
Donnie Yen.
Yep, he's number one. I love Donnie Yen so much. But the other is Scott Adkins. Maybe not quite as well known, but he's done a zillion movies, kind of like the B-level martial arts movies. And so when I found out that John Wick, a franchise I already love, just because as far as I'm concerned, it's probably the best action movies
hands down,
making.
Hands down.
That you took two of my favorite guys and like, oh my gosh, they're in it too? So it was a similar thing for me where... as the movie is playing out, and it was a very good movie, but you add on top of that the giddiness when there's something you're excited about, mm-hmm. and you're just sitting there with a big old smile on your face, and you keep saying, oh my gosh, look what he's doing.
And just the set pieces.
Oh, man. How do you even, because I don't want to spoil it, but they are so creative. We've all seen 1,000 action movies, how do you make it fresh in a way we haven't seen when it's just a good guys, bad guys, and guns, right? Like that's.
And they found a way to not just make it fresh,
yeah,
but forever. Every scene, like when you thought it was over, it just kept going.
Yeah, to the point like, no, they're not. Oh my gosh, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was actually my third on my list.
Okay.
And I dropped it. I had it originally, and then I saw that movie, No Ohio in the Sky, and I was like, it's still sticking with me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the end scene, like the fight action scene where they're going up the stairs, and just when you're like, he got to the top, and then he has to go all the way back down, was incredible.
This is actually also going to tie into something a little bit later on when we get to another category, next category, so.
Last words, Winston?
Just have fun out there.
Yeah, so far I've got a whole bunch of martial arts. I got the Ninja Turtles and I got John Wick.
My number one is, you can guess my number one.
Mission Impossible.
There it is, right there. So Dead Reckoning Part 1. This movie, I just love, that's my favorite type of film. Is yours like martial arts?
Yeah.
That's up there for me, but just an action adventure.
Yep.
That's it. And I think Tom Cruise has done a great job with this. I'm going to admit, the middle of the movie, I was let down on what happens. I don't want to give that away if you've never seen it.
And I still haven't.
Okay, yeah. So I was, it tore me. I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. But I just recently went back and watched it twice. And I'm like, okay, I'm good with this. It's some of the best real action, like John Wick, real action stuff. This is just the same thing with set pieces, but how they pull it off is incredible. And the story is just seamless to all the other movies. It is, in my opinion, it's the best franchise. And that's... I know I'm stepping on toes for Star Wars and Marvel of late. Marvel's stepping away for me.
Yeah,
Star Wars has been just kind of hit and miss of late. But Mission Impossible, if you throw away, I don't count Mission Impossible 2.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not a perfect franchise. But if you watch Mission Impossible 1, 3, and on, it's so good. That's just for me.
Ethan, what's your objective? What's your ultimate objective?
Your life will always matter more to me than my own.
None of our lives can matter more than this mission.
I don't accept that.
I need to, I need to watch it. Because I know those movies always deliver. And they're always marketing the massive stunts, you know, to get you hooked on it. All right, here's where I'm going way off the rails, okay? So this one may even require it so off the rails, probably a little bit of context. 2025 Armageddon is the name of the movie.
I know it. That's
so let me back up because it won't make sense unless I explain a few things. First of all, it comes from a low budget movie company called Asylum. Now, Aaron knows this. Not a lot of people do. I adore a certain type of B-movie. Low-budget, ridiculous, crummy-acting, absurd-plot movies. And Asylum is one of those places they very much understand it. They understand what they are and what they do, and they play to it.
These are the people that made Sharknados 1 through 5.
Yes, exactly right. And so they've done a ton of these goofy, obnoxious, like monster movies and stuff. So here's why I love this one. And this was a moment, it was just me. Like, I watched it at home because who else is going to watch 2025 Armageddon? And in one of the rarest things that can ever happen, watching, at least for me, watching a movie by myself, like with just grinning until it hurts. Because what they do, the concept of the movie is real simple and it is so meta. It's maybe the best multiverse movie of the year. The idea is aliens have been watching Asylum films. So they've been watching films that come from this actual company. And to attack Earth, they use their technology to create all of them. And so, like, it all plays out. There are, in the background, you're always watching movie posters. Like, the government is saying the aliens watched all of these movies, and that's what they're using to attack. And so you get this combination of stuff that I've all watched, because you got the giant piranhas, you got the mega shark, you have the five-headed shark, you have Sharknado makes an appearance.
And that's the asylum. That's the aliens are using.
Yes, giant croc, giant octopus, giant robots. They're all there. Everything that was from other movies on this asylum film company.
That's fantastic.
All show up in a time where everybody is doing multiverses and stuff. I took so much personal enjoyment. Like, it was one of those afternoons
that
made me so happy, because, like, this is my stuff. I know all of these references and these monsters, and I'm having the best time.
I love it.
We're being attacked by monsters from movies on this list. The asylum titles from the top down.
It's these drones that are creating these creatures.
These things are aliens? Here they come.
Massive shark just attacked New York.
Lives of millions of people hang in the balance here.
Now I do want to throw this caveat out there before we move to our favorite moments. We haven't seen every movie.
No.
And we don't, you know, you may have your favorite movies as well. Our favorites are not your favorites. We get that.
Yeah.
This is just what we saw. I do want to say, I can't wait. I'm still looking to watch the Toho Godzilla movie.
Oh,
I know,
man.
You saw that, and I still want to see The Shift. The guys that made Angel Studios, it's the story of Job loosely based on.
You know what? I didn't put Godzilla on there just because I just went to it. What day is it? I think it went yesterday, 2 days ago.
Okay.
Phenomenal. Maybe it'll be on my list for next year.
Okay.
Very, very good.
It may make it to my next year.
So this is almost a wild card one. We did music, we did movies, now we're going to do moments. Mm-hmm. And this is a real mismatch for me of stuff. So it's kind of all over the map on mine.
Man, yeah. And so I go back to, it's like moments. So we get to do some really cool stuff with radio or in media. There's an event called Momentum where it's a whole bunch of radio stations. I'll go out. It's like a conference to learn things, mingle with the radio, the artists, your favorite artists, and hear their new upcoming songs. And so that way we could determine, is that something I would like to play on the radio? Well, Matt and I got asked to go to, this is my number three moment. I got to go to, Hard Rock Cafe. And sit down with Need to Breathe and listen to an album. Capitol Records just signed them. We had to keep our mouths shut about it.
We literally had to take our cell phones and put them in padded envelopes.
Yeah.
Because you weren't allowed to record anything.
And they played the first song. And I wanted to put this album in the top list. I just, once again, ironically, you guys put out too many songs on one album. And I'm the guy who wants more songs. Maybe I just wanted more. I think it for you, Need to Breathe, I just wanted more from you, honestly. But boy, hanging out with Bear and Josh, two of the guys from Need to Breathe, Bear the lead singer, they played for us the song Cave. Caves, I think it's called Caves.
Yeah.
I thought for me, sitting there at that moment, this was like the next Jesus Freak. That says a lot.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Song was rocking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, please give me that for, I'm still asking that. Make that your radio single. Now, their first single, which if you're listening to Life FM now, we haven't played it yet, but we will be playing their new single called The Fall, which, Fall on Me. It's called Fall on Me with Maverick City. And that's phenomenal. I like that.
It is an incredible song. Yeah, that was a really...
It's a great moment. It's a
really special moment. They had this like reserve room, sitting there with Need to Breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cool. I have a moment like that, and I'm going to get to that one. But as I was thinking moments, so two of them are like my own personal like cool, fun moments. But I was trying to think, what about just in the world itself? Like what sort of moments have there been? And that I'm actually Googling a little bit to remind myself. And all I'm finding is wars.
Yeah, it's all you. Yeah.
So it was kind of tough. So this is, I'm going to cheat on the rules a little bit, and I'm just going to bundle two things together because to me they're kind of funny.
Sure.
This was the year that the Pentagon, of all places, launched a website with all the declassified info on UFOs.
Oh yeah, aliens.
Better known as UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomenon. And I kind of love that this happened and nobody seemed to care.
Like, yeah. They should have all cared.
They should have cared. It's funny that we live in a world now with just so much bizarre stuff going on that they're like, hey, here's a website with everything. And then everyone's like,
It's because it's the answer nobody wanted. Like, they wanted, like, physical evidence of a green Martian.
Yeah.
And they didn't put that out there. So, you know what? Don't believe you, government.
Yeah.
Until we see the real deal.
And I'm going to assume that this podcast will be a time capsule for future generations that'll look back. And they'll be, what was so big in 2023? Well, the things that were big were declassified UFO info and just, I don't know, it makes me giggle. Two billionaires that were going to have a cage fight.
I wish. It still could happen.
Maybe. I'm not optimistic. But, of course, this was the whole Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg thing. I think, did Mark issue the challenge? I forget. It doesn't matter, really.
I think Mark probably would have. I mean, the guy takes Krav Maga, so.
Jiu-jitsu.
Oh, is it jiu-jitsu that he does?
Yeah. He does jiu-jitsu, and Elon Musk is just he's an eccentric billionaire.
So, who makes crazy things.
That stood out to me as, like, if you kind of back away from it, and you look at this bizarre existence that we have right now where the government's like, here's our UFO info, and billionaires are like, let's fight each other in a cage.
This is like, we definitely are near the end times.
so those stood out as an item.
It's so funny. When we were talking, as this podcast is going on, I forgot about this moment.
Oh.
So I'm going to throw this in there.
Okay.
This is not in my top three.
All right.
And this goes for both of us. Maybe if it's in yours, then we'll count it. But I just want to say thank you to everybody making us 5 years in a row best of radio show.
I actually thought about, I didn't put it in, but I think about this.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of like, you know, thank you us. Yeah. No, it's thank you. You guys did that. And, for me, it's like, you know, best of not just that a radio, but television for TV personality. Yeah. It's behind the scenes in that world, you have no idea, how important that is. So, yeah, that's really cool. It's humbling.
And I will say to that, because it's easy to just hear that, especially if you don't know us or you haven't listened very much, if this is your first encounter with us, like, you're just talking about your awards. For me, and Aaron can attest to this, I'm one of those people that never anticipates or thinks maybe even sometimes that we deserve any awards. Mm-hmm. I tend to be the more self-critical one with this stuff. And so to know that this category, which... just to bring you up to date, existed for a total of 5 years.
We won every five.
They just stopped it this year. We won every time is still kind of mind-boggling and humbling.
Because you, our listeners, voted.
Right.
So thank you. Yeah. All right. So my number two is actually, Matt's going to be tired of me saying this, but there's a reason for it, though. So my wife and I have been doing the carnivore lifestyle for 11 months since this podcast. The reason is because she was trying to get off of depression meds. She's been trying to figure it since I've known her. So my moment is, it's not the carnivore, but it's the fact that for her, mm-hmm. everybody's different. This helped her get off of depression meds. She hasn't been on it since we've started. And so I'm getting to, like, I'm seeing like another side of my wife that I love way more. I've already loved her way so much. This is fun.
That's really cool.
I love this.
It's awesome how, you know, it can vary person to person, mm-hmm. but how much, and especially, I don't want to over-spiritualize things, but honestly, when you look at kind of the design of stuff, that when you realize how much weight comes with what you eat and how you eat, and that's different between people, mm-hmm. like you said, but it is amazing how drastic it can be when you really focus down on that stuff.
It's just, there's a chemical issue there, and it's just totally helped her. Like, to be fair, coming off of this podcast, with less than 24 hours ago, we were at Disneyland eating tons of cookies and gingerbread and ice cream. And so right now she feels miserable, but we could do it.
Yeah.
She felt healthy enough to say, hey, I'm not worried about this. Because I feel great, and she, it's been a blast. So that's been a great moment.
That's awesome. Okay, well, I'll do this one because it's kind of my tie back to when I mentioned during the John Wick 4. Mm-hmm. For the last 4 months, I've done Taekwondo, and I say this because my kids, my two oldest daughters, have been doing Taekwondo, and I've done martial arts, but I've never done Taekwondo. And the opportunity came up. They're like, hey, if you have kids in this class, we're going to let parents take it for free for a full testing cycle, which is a 4-month thing to move from white belt to your next belt. And so we're like, all right, we'll do it. So my wife and I both, which is also really fun because it has become like 2 built-in date nights every week where we get to go and we get to do Taekwondo. And it's just, it's super fun. And the way they do their classes, it's like half workout and then half learning forms and techniques and stuff like that. But it has been an absolute blast to get to do this. I'm coming up on the end. I get to test, and assuming I pass that test, I'm done, unless I then have to start paying for classes and I can't afford it. But but it's been awesome to do that 4 months. But here's where it ties into John Wick. They also threw in a free weapons class. And I told myself, this goes back years ago, you'd always hear the cliches about when you turn 40, you have this midlife crisis, and people end up just doing, they get way into submarines, or they go buy a new Mustang or whatever. And I was like, I don't want to do any of that. I'm always the one who likes to buck tradition anyways. Like, when I turn 40, I'm going to learn nunchucks.
Nice.
And John Wick has an incredible nunchuck scene.
It goes forever.
Now, I'm a little delayed. I tried to self-teach the last couple of years, which didn't go great. But I've gone now, and I've learned some from Taekwondo, and I can actually say that I can do nunchucks. I can't do the flashiest stuff you'd see on YouTube, but I can do the wrist rolls.
You can do it without hitting your face.
I can. I can do it without hitting my face or any other part of myself. And that is something that was a legitimate goal for me when I turned 40. I'm 43 now. But so all a bundled thing. Getting to do Taekwondo was a lot of fun for my wife and I and helped me get one of those goals.
That's I love that.
Yeah.
I'm always jealous of that. So my number one moment came hiking in the Sierras a few years ago, 2020. My wife and I were rescued from the Creek Fire, and there was a big explosion. But before even that, so there's all these stories about us and fire and smoke and stuff in the wilderness. But there, a few years back from there, as we were rescued from the Black Hawk, there's an exciting story. But there's more, like 6 years prior to that, we're just in a state of where I shared the long end of the story is I shared my faith on television. I thought I would lose my job.
Oh yeah.
The second I left. I went hiking. The second I told everybody on television my testimony, and I did it with the guys from the Kendrick Brothers who made the movie War Room, which, by the way, they have a sequel coming out to the War Room next year. But they, I shared my testimony on there, and then I thought I'd lose my job, and so I'm asking for God. We're hiking in the Sierras. This is like literally the next day, and I don't have cell reception. I feel like, oh, I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. People are going to think I lost my job. And I was asking God for a sign. And he said there wouldn't be any smoke because there was tons of wildfires out there. And everywhere we walked, there was no smoke. And a guy challenged me on that. And it was we're at this lake, at Lake Marie, at I think that's the name of the lake. I could be wrong. But it's at near Glen. No, sorry, I'm going to butcher this one. Sierra, John Muir Trail, Muir Pass.
Okay.
It's at Muir Pass, 12,000 feet. There's a lake. There's smoke about to come into the camp. And there's this guy named Todd who lived on a boat in Oregon. And he said he's an atheist. And he looks over at me, where's your God now as the smoke's coming in? The smoke doesn't come in. The words I say to Todd is like, my God stands before you. And he won't let this come in. And the entire trip is crazy. The wind's blowing at us. The smoke is coming at us. And the smoke stops. As the wind's still blowing at us the whole time. And then the next morning we get up and we walk away and the smoke just clears. It never hits us. And he said, I will follow you wherever you go because your God is real. And I always wanted to honor God for that moment. And this year, we're hiking back in the Sierras. We're back at that same spot, that same location, and I got my Ebenezer Stone. And the Ebenezer Stone, it's based out of, it's in the Bible. It's mentioned it 3 different times, but I'll take you to 1 Samuel 7:12. And it says, thus far the Lord has helped us let me read the whole thing. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. And it refers to a place where the Philistines were trying to attack the Israelites. And and God showed up. And you can read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 2 all the way to chapter 7. And to honor God and what he did, you saw Samuel then place this Ebenezer stone and as a monument to God. So I built this monument up to God, and we're being surrounded that day, this year. I'm at that same spot. It's just my wife and I, and nobody else is around. It's completely desolate, and there's these clouds of storm, thunder and lightning all around, and I'm like, I'm going to build this before it rains on top of us, and I build it, and it was super heavy, and I bowed down to pray and to give God the glory, and I look up, and it's incredible. Straight above my head is a clear blue sky, but in a complete like donut shape, and the donut on the ring it's clear right and it's right above the Ebenezer 12 stones, and surrounding us is this entire blackness, darkness of storm, thunder and lightning and cold and rain, and yet it does not rain, and God says, I won't allow it to rain on you. And and I just felt the comfort of the Lord, and it broke me. And I knew that God was there in that moment. It's the coolest thing. It's the moment between God and I'll never be able to relive, but I'm never going to forget it.
And for anybody that's like, yeah, that doesn't sound right. Aaron actually brought pictures.
Yeah.
He brought, because you were telling me the story, mm-hmm. and you took photos of the sky.
Yeah.
And of the clear.
It was 5 minutes after that. I'm like, I got to take pictures. I got to show. And God still kept the that in the sky.
God is, at this point, he's like, hurry up. Checking his watch.
Thanks, God.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's so powerful. I don't have any storms that stopped in their tracks for mine. But I do have something. So as Aaron mentioned, with your first one, we get some cool opportunities. And I didn't want this to come across as like we're bragging about this thing, but I thought people would actually really dig what I got to do because it was a really unique experience. I got to go to the Dove Awards this year, the last couple of years, actually.
That's the Christian industry...
Like the Grammys. Grammys. Yeah. Yeah. So, and they, these last few years, if you are familiar with the Doves, you've been around for a while. Truth is, nobody's really paid attention to them for years. They were kind of a big deal a long time ago. They kind of faded away. So they're really making an effort now to get the word out. So I get to go to the Doves. And while we're there, we get to kind of just go around Nashville and Franklin and do cool stuff. And there was one moment, Amy Grant has a farm in Franklin. And so we get on this bus and they drive way out to this rural area of Franklin, Tennessee. And we go to her farm. Now, this actually isn't even an Amy Grant story. She's not a part of it, but it's her property. And turns out she has this huge barn that can be used for exclusive events. So we get to go into this barn, and like, it's real nice inside, but you're in the middle of nowhere in the country.
Sure.
And go upstairs, and there's just some white lights hanging, and Elevation Worship is there to do music for us. And there was just something so impactful and powerful. They were in their element. There was just, it's a hard thing to explain, but when you're around the artists and these things a lot, you can tell when they're in performance mode and when they're not.
And they're just, they're in it.
They were just in it. They were just enjoying it. They were kind of improvising their way through this set of music. And it was just, you know, a little surreal to be like Amy Grant's barn, a place that for the most part public isn't allowed to go here. It's private property she owns, and Elevation Worship is doing their thing, and we're just all singing and have this worship time. And after that, after the concert, for me, it almost got better because on her property, I don't even know if I'm supposed to say this. I honestly don't. So I'm just going to go
out there now.
She has these cabins. This property she bought, I guess, has existed for like 100 years or something. So these old-timey cabins with no electricity or anything. And we walked to them because we had somebody with the group was familiar with Amy and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we went up there and we got to look around. And these cabins have an area where they keep the fire lit for, I forget, 6 months out of the year. It wasn't at this time. But where people come and 24 hours, there's just a fire pit and they keep it lit.
Keep it going.
And there's like journals and stuff there that you can open that people have just written their thoughts of whatever. As there's there, Amy's written stuff. You can see like all her notes and just
did
very.
Did her
like,
buddy Michael W. Smith write it?
Probably. He probably did. But that whole experience, just very unique, very special. To get an opportunity like that, I never take that stuff for granted that, you know, we get to do sometimes as radio guys.
Yeah, it's rare. I get stuff like that for television, and when those moments happen, those are moments. That's it's super rare. But that happens, but that can happen with you and your job. I remember when I worked for Wells Fargo, like you'd win something, they send you to Disneyland. Or,
oh yeah,
it doesn't matter what you do. I mean.
Every job has...
You'll be blessed with the moment.
Yeah, has their moments, their perks, their things. But that was just one I thought, you know, if you're a Christian music fan in particular, that you'd kind of a fun one to hear about because you're not going to hear about that from many people.
I do want to say, though, if you're working at a job and you haven't had a moment and you've been there for 10 years, get out of that job. Yeah.
and don't go to radio. Okay?
No.
We don't...
It's not for everybody.
Christian radio largely is a nonprofit industry, so... Where you might hear that doing these cool things, it's not because we're making a ton of money. It's because places and people want their songs on the radio, so they let us do cool things.
Yes. Well, and you get blessed for it. We're always humbled by it. Just like how you guys voted for us best of. So that you can't. And it's because of stuff like that, though.
Yeah.
That's what puts Life FM on the map and allows Matt to do cool things like that.
Yeah. I mean, whether I do the cool things or not, you know, it's just. This whole year, whether it's, you know, I guess the award thing was just kind of a symbol or maybe some validation that when we do a show, we plan stuff out, we're planning games, we're planning ridiculous songs and stuff like that, that it's still good. Like any other job, I think, we have days where we don't know if it was any good, days where you put in the effort or don't put in the effort, depending on your mindset, and you just kind of like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, we have those days, too. So I think it's no different than anybody.
And I would say, look, if you always look for encouragement out there. A great way to find some of that, check out this podcast. Consider it joy. It's an easy plug. But there's other episodes. This is just the first year. We're about to jump into 2024. And there's, I don't even know what we're doing yet.
Yep. Neither do I.
But I know God does, and it's going to be really fun.
And we are putting together some fun ideas and concepts and bringing some more guests on in 2024. This will be heading into our first full year of the podcast. So thank you guys for listening to it, whether you found us just on the podcast or if you've listened, you found through the radio show. We appreciate you all so much. We hope you get our hearts through all this. Just a way for you to get to know us a little bit more specifically as who we are and our interests and getting to share some of our lives with you. So hopefully we'll get to make this a tradition in the years to come. We'd love to hear, what were your moments? What were your albums or your movies over this last year? Whether they came out this last year or just that was the year it impacted you, you can always reach out. We have all the links. Actually, if you go to ConsiderItJoyPodcast.com. It's our link tree. We've got all our social media and ways that you can connect there. Otherwise, you can listen anytime. As Aaron mentioned, we're a production of 88.3 Life FM in Bakersfield, California. You can rate us. You can subscribe wherever you get podcasts. But mostly, thanks for giving us an hour of your time to talk about some of the stuff that we've found interesting over the last year.
And if you're interested, feel free to try watching or listening to all of those things we gave you, as long as you're, you know, I guess some of those age appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. Parents' guidance is suggested across the board. Thank you so much for listening. Happy New Year.